for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, June the 29th, 1986. 4th of July week, family camp, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jimmy Hood is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, we're happy to have Brother Jimmy Hood with us from over in Georgia.
Alabama.
close by. And all these musicians here and all the rest of the army of the Lord. Amen. Because that's what the Lord's raising up. There's an army to serve Him and to bring in the kingdom. So this afternoon, we're glad for the ministry that the Lord has given to Brother Hood. And we have relinquished the rest of the afternoon until 7 o'clock tonight to Brother Hood.
Praise God. Is this on, Glenn? Okay. Well, Brother Tommy said he was going to preach till daylight one of these days, so praise God. We may preach till supper time. Amen. I want to share with you a little bit this afternoon from my heart, share a little bit from the Word, and then we want to let God move in His mighty power. God told me that He's going to do a special miracle. You remember over in Acts 19? Said Paul did special miracles. Special miracles came from the body of Paul. And evidently, these weren't just everyday miracles. You know, miracles, a miracle, but they're special miracles on top of miracles. Amen. And I don't know what it is. I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's going to be, but I'm looking for a special miracle here this afternoon. Praise God. I went upstairs after lunch to pray. Just asked God to anoint me with the fire the brother was talking about, and God did. The fire fell. And it got so strong I could just barely stand it. I said, Lord, I don't believe I can take anymore. But I said, keep it coming. That's all right. I'll try. And you know, about this time I started crying. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. Because God said, I can't use you unless you're broken, my son. He said, I cannot trust my power to those that have not been broken by my spirit. And He said, I'll use you to the extent that you're broken, to the extent that you're not, I can't use you. And, you know, oh, it's been a number of years ago, probably 12, 14 years ago. God told me my calling in the body of Christ was to be that of a prophet. Brother Tommy said to examine the prophets. He said, be wary of these people that say, I'm a prophet. And I exhort you to do the same thing. But I want my message to be examined by the fivefold ministry, by the ministries that God's raised up, because I want the word that I bring forth, I want the prophetic utterance that I bring forth, I want whatever it is that I share by the Spirit of God, I want it to be examined and make sure that I'm standing on solid ground. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm teachable. If I miss God, I want somebody to come up to me and say, Brother Jimmy, you missed God. Now, I don't want you to tell me I think or I believe or Brother so-and-so says so or Dr. so-and-so at the seminary or my denomination says this. I want you to come with the Word of God and say, Brother, you missed the Word right here. And I'll listen to you. And if you come bringing me the Word, you're going to have receptive ears, brother. God called me, and it was a long, strange chain of events, and I won't go into it, how I was called into this ministry. But it's just starting to bear fruit at this time. And, you know, I'm not real comfortable in this ministry. I'll just be frank with you. I just sit here and I say, God, are you going to show up or not? You know, because if you don't, I'm out of business, because, you know, and really it's that way, because I just come, I remember when I was a kid, They had a swimming pool in Birmingham. It had a big 40-foot tower. And I was a teenager, you know, and I wanted to show off and impress all the young girls, and I'd go up there and dive off that thing. But I wasn't as brave as I looked like. That first step was a lulu, I'll tell you. You just had to go ahead and take that first step. And then there wasn't any turning back after that. And that's and that's the way it is. When you walk in the gifts, you just take that first step, and if God doesn't show up, all you get is an egg on your face, you know. And I saw God do a cannonball off of there one day and just split his bathing suit wide open, you know. And that's what happens if you miss God. You get your bathing suit split wide open, but that's okay. And I want to tell you folks, I've had egg on my face several times because I have missed God. I don't want to. It's not my desire to miss God. But you know, we walk in the flesh, don't we? But if we don't step out and move, and I know this was the Spirit of God, what Brother Bill was doing, having you prophesy, is urging you just to step out, be willing to be a fool for Jesus. And as you do this, God will honor that.
Yes, he will.
There was such a burning in my heart for the things of God. God started, when I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1970, and I came into the area of healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they scared me because I'd never experienced these things. I mean, with a Presbyterian background, they didn't even preach John 3:16 in my church, much less the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and all these other things. And it scared me. But I liked it. I mean, I really liked it. I want to tell you, I liked to move in the realm of the gifts. They were frightening. Strange things happened. We got into the deliverance ministry. There wasn't anybody in my town that spoke in tongues that I knew of. There wasn't anybody that ever cast a demon out of anybody. Nobody had ever laid hands on a sick person and seen them healed. There were some, but see, I didn't know them. And I had to just learn by the Spirit. God started teaching me things. And I would read and I would talk to others. You know, in other towns, I'd go to meetings. But I was so hungry. And I said, God, I want a double portion of the Spirit that was upon Elijah. And I bet there's some in here that have prayed that same prayer. They want a double portion. I still want it. That's still my prayer. I want that double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. But God says you're going to have the brokenness of Elijah. You're going to have the obedience of an Elijah. You're going to have to listen to what I'm telling you by my Spirit, and then you're going to have to be obedient. God says he honors obedience better than sacrifice in his Word. And it's hard to be obedient sometimes because, see, we have our carnal desires. Our carnal flesh wants to do the things we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. But God is raising up a people in these last days that will hear the voice of God. I've asked God to give me spiritual eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit, spiritual ears to hear the words that he's saying. And brothers and sisters, this is my heart's desire. I could wish I could tell you I walked in perfect obedience all the time. I don't, but I want to, and I'm walking in more obedience than I was last year, last month, yesterday, this morning. I'll be walking in more tomorrow than I'm walking in today. But as far as I know, I'm walking in as well right now. You know, God's God, isn't he? His arm's not shortened, as the sister said in the prophecy. He's uncovered his arm, and he's ready to move out. And he wants some folks to move out with him.
Yes.
But you know, a lot of times we're ready to move out into battle. We haven't been through basic training. You know, when I went in the Navy in World War II, they didn't send us right out to sea. They sent us to a place called boot camp. And it was rough. But you came out, you were not the same person you went in. I went in a little old scrawny 140-something pound kid. I came out, I weighed 172 pounds. And boy, it was all muscle. I mean, I was ready. I had a lot to learn, but I was ready to engage in warfare. And many of you have been through the same thing in basic and whatever they call it, you know, the other services. But God wants his people to go through boot camp. And boot camp's not fun. They get you up before daylight, and you do calisthenics, and they holler at you and scream at you and mistreat you. They don't mistreat you, but they treat you rough. And you do all kind of, you know, dirty things like washing the garbage cans out and the toilets and all that stuff. And it's not fun. But by this, you start learning to be obedient. When that chief or that ensign or that captain or whoever it is speaks to you, that you're going to be obedient to what he says. Just exactly what Brother Glenn was talking about this morning. I told Brother Tommy last night, I said, Brother, you fed us some steak tonight, but I said, tomorrow they're going to get cornbread, and that's about what you're getting. You know, I asked God, I said, God, when Brother Glenn told me I was going to speak out here and asked me to come, and I accepted, I said, Lord, what am I going to share with these people? They're used to a deep word. They're used to these truths that are just, you know, deep truths. And I was sent to them. I've been able to teach a little bit in some of these areas. And God said, I want you to go back to basics.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that are in my army that have never been through basic training. And, you know, I shared when I was here in Easter, in the spring camp. When I was here at the spring camp, I shared how God had told me to go back to my first love, that joy in the Holy Ghost. That joy of just sitting at the feet of Jesus and just letting Jesus minister to you and through you. And, you know, it's so sweet. It's so precious. And to be here with the Spirit of the Lord just here. And, you know, I've told you I'd asked to spiritual eyes to see. And I saw angels. I prophesied. I don't know whether you knew that was me prophesying last night about the angels were hovering over this place. It's like a dome over this building right here, and they're still here. It's like a dome of angels. And have you seen these water ballets where the people all touch hands and they form a great big diamond or big pattern out there in the water? They're like that, but their wings are touching one another, and there's one big angel right in the middle of them. And then they're fanned out just as a canopy over this building. And the Lord said they're going to stay here for the whole camp. They're going to be here. Then, amen. And that's right. Amen. And the enemy will not be able to penetrate that dome that is over this building. When you're in this building, you're under God's protective angelic forces. The enemy cannot come in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise Jesus. You know, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4. None of you have ever heard of that, have you? You know, when I was in the denominational system, they'd just skip that part. They'd get there and they'd go on and read it real fast and not comment on it. You know, people don't have any trouble with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really, intellectually, in most churches, even in the denominations. But what they do have trouble with is the stigma of speaking in tongues. That's the place where they turn away from you. They think you're off the wall. You know, I've heard people say, well, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want those tongues. Or as they say in Alabama, I don't want them thar tongues. Them thar tongues. But they are a stigma to those that don't want all that Jesus has with them. I was at a meeting at a place called Holy Trinity near Eufaula, Alabama, with a bunch of Methodist men mostly. And I remember there was a big old oil dealer from Columbus, Georgia there. And he said, I want all that God's got for me. He said, I don't care whether it's healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, speaking in tongues. I want it all. And I said, God, I want the same thing. That's the way I want. I want it all. And there was a lot of prayer and laying on of hands. First time I'd ever had anybody lay their hands on me, except when I was ordained a deacon in my church. Before I was ever saved, as a matter of fact. Did y'all know there were deacons in churches that weren't saved? It might even be a preacher or two, but amen. But as I was coming back in my car, it was over Saturday night after supper. I was going down a lonely stretch of the highway, And the Spirit of God came into the car with me. I've never had an experience like that before or since. God was in the car with me, manifestly present. I didn't say anything, but God was with me for about an hour or an hour and a half. I did not pass a car. I did not have a car pass me, except going the other way. That whole time, it's a federal highway. I cannot explain it. I'd come up behind cars, and they'd pull off the road, and I'd just go on by them. And when I got home, it was about 11 o'clock, I guess, when I got home, and I used to have a drinking problem before I got saved. Pretty bad, really. I'm sure some of you have experienced the same thing. And when I would drink, my eyes would get glazed, kind of a glazed look. Well, my wife was waiting up for me, and she said, "Jimmy, you've been drinking." Well, I hadn't. I'd been drinking of that new wine. And I was drunk on the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of the Lord was in the car. And I had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I thought, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But as I read, and I read the Scriptures, and I studied, and I found out there was one thing missing. My experience did not line up with the Bible. I'd had a tremendous spiritual experience, but it didn't line up with the Word of God. I started searching and seeking and trying to find out, really, had I been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or was there something else? I went up to a retreat with some Methodists up at the Camp Sumatonga, their campgrounds, and there was a big old guy that was in a East Gadsden Methodist Church, had just been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Construction worker, his neck was red, his face was sunburned. Kind of an uneducated guy, about 6'3" or 6'4". And while we were there, there was a group singing group from Daveville. And I knew most of the guys in it. I didn't know the piano player. And they said, "Let's pray for our piano player. Everybody in our group saved, but our piano player, and he doesn't know Jesus." And so we were in the parking lot, and this big old guy that had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power of God fell on him. He fell down in the middle of this gravel parking lot, started praying in tongues and interceding for this guy to get saved. I thought, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Here's this guy out in the middle of the parking lot, pitch black dark, praying for a guy to get saved. I said, "Man, if that's God, I don't know." I didn't discount it, but I wasn't buying it for sure. Well, the next morning, about daylight, it was in a, you know, we had kind of like the dorm up here, except they were in smaller rooms. There were about 12 guys in each room. This piano player had already gone to bed when we were praying for him. No one had had a chance to talk to him. He had an upset stomach. The next morning, he was in the room across the hall. I had just met him the night before. He comes over and shakes me. I'm still in bed. And he says, "Jimmy," he said, "I've never walked the aisle." I said, "What do you mean walk an aisle, you know?" He said, "I've never been saved." He said, "How do you get saved?" I said, "Well, go over there with your buddies and they'll tell you how to get saved." I didn't know how to lead him to the Lord. I kind of knew how, but I didn't know too well. And he went over there, and they said, "No, he went to you." Says, "You lead him to the Lord." So I hadn't shaved, brushed my teeth, even gotten out of bed. So I get out of bed and go through the plan of salvation as well as I could, and the guy asked Jesus into his heart and gets saved. And I saw there's a power there that I didn't have. And I wanted it. I knew that old construction worker had a power that I wanted. I saw some other manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But I realized that these tongues, these things that seemed so silly to the natural mind, was the initial evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's some people here today that have been wondering about this. Some people, I don't know who they are. God has not revealed them, but I know there's some here they've been wondering about this, and I know that's why God had me to teach on this and to share it. Because God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you His Spirit, and He wants you to receive it the same way the early church received it. was with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Praise Jesus. As I looked at the scriptures, I thought, well, tongues isn't the initial evidence. What is? I mean, is there some other evidence in the scripture that it's not a great spiritual experience? I've had that. I've never had anything like that in my life. Never has since. So it's not a great spiritual experience because I knew that I had not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. People say, well, it's a great love that flows out. Listen, the love ought to be flowing out when you ask Jesus into your heart. When you get saved, God comes in. You ought to start loving people more. Some people say, well, it's just a great warmth went all over me, and I just felt all warm and tingly inside. And I know that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Acts 2:4. Let's start at Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you see what happened? Most of you speak in tongues that are here. Praise God for it. But they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise Jesus. Same thing happened. We're not going to read all the scriptures because most of you have studied these scriptures. You know them. Over in Acts 10, you remember how Peter went down to the household of Cornelius, had a vision while he was in Joppa, sheet was let down three times, and this voice comes from heaven, says, Peter, take and eat. He said, not so, Lord. He said, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. God says, don't call common or unclean that which God has, presented to you, in other words. So, anyhow, about this time, people come in that Cornelius has had a visitation by this angel. He says, send and get Peter, bring him down here. He's going to speak to you the words of life. Peter comes down, starts preaching Jesus to them, and the Holy Spirit falls on them, and they start speaking in tongues. They got saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that's the way it should be. Brother Bill tells me it was 3 weeks later when he got baptized, or 2 weeks later, after he got saved. It was 3 years, because it took me 39 years to get saved, and then it took me 3 more years to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But God had to do it all. I didn't have anybody teaching me any of this stuff. I got saved lying in my bed, getting up a Sunday school lesson, reading that same book of Acts. That's where I got saved. And I got baptized in the Holy Ghost just about the same way, although I did have some folks lay hands on me. Peter told the Jews that were with him, he said, how can we refuse water baptism to them which have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? Because they'd heard them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. You know, you glorify God when you speak in tongues. I remember one morning after I'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I kept saying one phrase over and over. I was praying in tongues. It was animo cognetti. I remember. That's not in my language now. God's given me other words. But I kept saying these words over. Animo cognetti, animo cognetti. I wrote it down. Phonetically, I said, God, what does that mean? He said, I love my beloved Savior. I love my beloved Savior. And that's what I was sitting there praying. I was worshiping, glorifying God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Over in Acts 19, you can look there if you like, but I'm not going to read it. Well, let's do read it. Praise God. I've taught on it so many times, I can just almost quote it. We had a girl in our Presbyterian church got saved. And she sat with us one time during church services. And I wrote on the bulletin, I wrote Acts 19:2 and put a question mark on the bulletin and passed it over to her. She clipped through her Bible and looked at it and says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? She hadn't spoken to me since. Paul comes to Ephesus. And he found certain disciples there, and in verse 2 that I just read, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they got an extra blessing, they prophesied. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. These were men that believed in Jesus, but they had not received the fullness of the Spirit. And some people teach that you release the Spirit that's within you. But my Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon them. He came upon them. The Holy Ghost fell on them on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fell on those that were... That means coming from above down on you. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, that means to be immersed, to be dipped, to have that, like a Niagara of water falling over you, to be totally immersed. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. And the evidence, each of those three times, and there are other scriptures, we're not going to go into them, but look, in the Old Testament, you could put a man to death on the testimony of two witnesses or three. We've got three we've just gone over. And I settled it in my heart that the initial evidence was speaking in tongues. Praise God. Praise Jesus. I prayed and I reached the conclusion that tongues was the initial evidence. And that without the tongues, you have not received. I'm going to stand on it. I didn't come to it overnight. I prayed over it. I sought the Lord. I studied the scriptures. I read. I talked to people. And God put that on my heart. And if you have received something, but you didn't get tongues when you received, and brothers and sisters, I'm going to stand here and tell you, you've got something besides the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to stand on that. People don't agree with me. There may be some here that don't agree with me. That's all right. I'll love you now. But that's settled in my heart. It's just like John 3:16. When I settle salvation in my heart, I'm standing on that rock, and there's nobody could ever tell me I was not saved. When I ask Jesus into my heart. I mean, there's just certain truths that are in the Bible that are embedded in rock, and they cannot be moved. There's light that I don't have in areas, and God's revealing things, and we go from glory to glory and from revelation to revelation. I saw stuff when Brother Tommy was teaching on last night that I've never seen in Scripture. You know, he gets a depth there and pulls it out, and I say, whoa, praise God, I never saw that before. Brother Glenn this morning, too, praise Jesus. So we don't... You know, we haven't arrived, but there's certain things that are just rock-bedded. They are just set in concrete, and they are immovable. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Now, there are a lot of people, through false teaching, or bad teaching, not false, but bad teaching, that think that you've got to have some great manifestation of the Holy Spirit before you can speak in tongues. That you've got to have some feeling. You're going by feelings. And they never speak in tongues, but one time in their life, that's when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they keep waiting for that same feeling to come again, where they can speak in tongues again. But you know, you can speak in tongues anytime you want to. That's why, you know, it is so wonderful to walk in here and see these brothers walking around praying in tongues, because, listen, there's all kind of things happening in the heavenlies when you pray in tongues. I mean, demons flee, people get healed, you worship God. You don't know what... See, the Spirit in you is praying through you. And praise God. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit is praying through you. Groanings which cannot be understood by the human mind. But see, when you pray in tongues, you have moved from the realm of the natural into the supernatural. That's what you saw today. You saw people prophesying supernaturally by the power of God. That was God speaking through them, using their voices. you know, their language, their, you know, if God could say you all through me, he might say you through somebody out of, you know, Brooklyn or somebody, but it's still God speaking. He'll use the language you use. He'll use the idiom that you use, but it's God still speaking supernaturally. And the speaking in tongues is where you move out of the realm of the natural into the supernatural. We have a supernatural God, don't we? And that is when we move into God's realm. We move into Satan's realm, too. He's supernatural. And a lot of people, they don't wonder what in the world happened when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're on cloud nine for several weeks or months or even a year or so. And then all of a sudden the enemy breaks through and, Lord, what happened? Where's all the joy? Where, you know, because we're promised trials, aren't we? Trials are the way into the kingdom, and God allows this. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God, Paul said over in Acts 14:22. Praise Jesus. So I came to the conclusion that this was the sign to the believer. If you want a title, Brother Glenn, for this, it's Tongues for Believers and Unbelievers. Over in 1 Corinthians 14, we might turn there. I'm not going to go into an in-depth teaching on tongues and prophecy and all this. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Tongues are a sign for unbelievers. Now, he's talking about in the church service. A lot of people don't realize that there are tongues to be used in the church, and there are tongues that we get when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, what some people call our devotional tongues. And the tongues that are in the church are for a sign to the unbeliever. We had a Bible study in my home one night, and there was a guy from Germany, young man, about the age of some of you kids here. He was a pen pal with this woman's children that had been in our church, and he had come over and was spending several weeks with them. His name was Rudiger. Of course, they Americanized it and called him Roger. Roger came to the first meeting. It was a charismatic meeting. His hostess had a message in tongues, and she gave it. I saw Roger just looking around, his eyes like saucers. He didn't know what was going on. Then the interpretation came. There was another message in tongues. The woman interpreted her own message. Now, Roger was a very educated young man. He spoke five different languages. And his eyes, when he heard this, I could tell he was really touched. Well, after the meeting, now Roger belonged to the state church in Germany, which they're all unsaved, probably, most of them anyhow. And he was unsaved. But he went home after the meeting and he asked the lady he was staying with, who had the message in tongues, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues, and she went to the scripture and got him some reading material. And I found out later what had happened. He spoke fluent Italian, and the woman he was staying with, whose sons were his pen pals, had spoken in Italian, a beautiful, high caste, high grade of Italian, and the Presbyterian minister that was there had given a perfect interpretation. It wasn't even only an interpretation, it was a translation. He translated it perfectly. The other woman that had a prophetic utterance and gave her own, of tongues and interpretation, gave her own interpretation, had spoken in Arabic and then interpreted. Now, he knew a little Arabic, enough to know that what she said was the gist of what she had spoken in Arabic. Now, these were people from Talladega, Alabama. They'd never been probably out of Alabama, either one. And he knew that they didn't speak Italian or Arabic. And it got his attention. The following week, Roger comes back, asks for prayer, wants to get saved, asks Jesus into his heart, he gets saved. And then he goes, he wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We lay hands on, God gives him a sixth language. This one he didn't understand. And he went back to Germany speaking six languages, but one was in the spirit. You see, tongues are a sign to unbelievers. He came in a total unbeliever in 1 week's time by that sign of speaking in tongues with the interpretation. Now, when the message comes forth in a church meeting like this, I'm not talking about your devotional tongues. There should always be an interpretation. We're not, like I said, I'm not going into the teaching on that. But I just want you to know that the tongues are a sign for the unbeliever, and they are for believers. It's the initial evidence of the baptism. The reason I'm teaching on this is because, brothers and sisters, we're seeing a de-emphasis on tongues today. Tongues are important. They are real important. That's the first evidence that God gives us. We move out of the natural realm into the supernatural. And God wants you praying in tongues. Now, there are a lot of you that don't pray in tongues very often. I exhort you in the name of Jesus to pray regularly in tongues. I'm not talking about just a few little sentences or 2 or 3 minutes. I'm talking about 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour at a time in tongues. And you'll start seeing breakthroughs in your life. These things that have got you bound, these things that are holding you. Listen, it will break that yoke of bondage. Tongues break it. They break it. That's why when you walk in here, people walk in that door and they say, presence of the Lord's here before the meeting ever starts. Because these men have been walking around praying in tongues and binding the powers of darkness and loosing God's power and praying in the Spirit. And I exhort you to. It's a rest. It's a rest when you pray in tongues. Have you ever just been real tired and you just say, oh, I can't go on, and you just kneel down by your chair or your bed and start praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden that peace of God just starts coming down on you, and you can just feel that strength flowing through you and the power of God as you pray in tongues? Maybe at first you don't feel anything. You think, boy, this is silly. Here I am making these strange sounds. Nothing's happening. But as you continue praying, you start breaking through that shell that's around you. You start moving into the heavenly realm, and the Spirit of God starts ministering to you. Because, see, you moved out of the natural into the supernatural. And that's the only one of the gifts that we can do ourselves. You can pray in tongues. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, verse 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. If you're English, he said, I'll pray in tongues, I'll pray with the understanding also. He said, I will sing with the Spirit. And isn't it beautiful to sing in the Spirit like we've been doing? Amen. And I will sing with the understanding also. Have we been doing that? Amen. Praise God. And isn't it a blessing? Can't you just feel the presence of God as we lift up the Lord in the Spirit and sing in tongues and worship Him? And the whole, boy, the voices just rise and go. You know, it's beautiful. And we've moved into that realm of the supernatural where God dwells and God's ministering by His ministering spirits. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. It's a rest. Praise God. But we're not seeing it in the churches today. People are playing it down. There are a lot of people, this third wave. Now, I've been associated, I don't know whether you've heard of the third wave or not. I don't know whether it's valid terminology, but that's what some people are calling the move of the Holy Spirit in the charismatic move back in the late 50s, 60s, and early 70s that were in the denominational churches, but the Baptist churches and some of the others, you know, kind of withstood it in the main. And now the Spirit is starting to move in a lot of the Baptist churches, and they're casting demons out of people, and they're healing folks and seeing the Spirit of God move, but they're playing down the tongues. There's a stigma there, and they don't. Look, if you're going to move in the things of the Spirit of God, you're going to have to pray in tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than all you Corinthians. And that was a tongue-talking church. As a matter of fact, that's what the whole 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter are about, is getting straightened out on how to handle their tongues in their meetings. Not all of it, but I mean a good portion of 12 and 13, and just almost all of 14. And he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. But there are people that are, they're playing it down. I think it's through ignorance. But I think we need to know this. I was at a meeting back in December in our hometown. There's a leader in the third wave group, I guess, has a meeting there every year. And there's about 500 people show up from all denominations. And the Spirit really is there. I mean, the Spirit of God was moving. And he said, everybody that wants more from God, come forward, wants a touch from God. And so probably three-fourths of the people came forward and just had filled the aisles up. And the power of God was there. There was an anointing of the Spirit of God. And yet he never said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, if you want more from God. But he didn't say, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. Now, some did start speaking in tongues that had never done it before because the anointing was so heavy. But all he'd had to done was just say, speak in tongues. And probably 9/10 of them would have just automatically started because it was just, boy, I was just wobbling. The Spirit of God was there so strongly. And I know God wanted to baptize those people with the Holy Spirit. But people are, they're downplaying tongues. Now, I speak in tongues. I thank God for it. I speak in tongues daily. I speak in tongues regularly. And as I'm doing it, I'm seeing more and more victory. I had a woman stop me the other day. She said, what are you so happy about walking down the street? Because, boy, I was just walking down the street, you know, and it's about 95 degrees in the shade. And sweat was kind of running down, you know. But she said, what are you so happy? I said, lady, I knew her. She has been to my church. But I said, it's just the Spirit of God. But I'd been praying in tongues prior to that. I don't go out on the street and pray in tongues. Well, I do too, but under my breath. But we're not seeing it in individuals like we ought to. I praise God for it here. Now, this place is different. I knew that when I was here in the spring. I praise God. I tell you, that anointing is here, and I praise God for it. And I thank God for the opportunity to come back and share with you. But, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, the 4th verse, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Do you want to be edified? Okay, then you speak in tongues. And you tell others about it. Look, let's just get over the stigma of it. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian, you're going to be stigmatized anyhow. People are not going to want to have a whole lot to do with you if you go talking about Jesus. So you might as well tell them about the tongues and the whole nine yards and just get the thing over with. And there may be some that will listen to you because we're in these last days. And I tell you, you're going to have that anointing on you as these trials and tribulations that are coming on the face of this earth, and that's all we've been hearing from the teaching, and you're going to have to start testing ministries. You're going to have to withstand because there are going to be trials coming on you like you never believed before. And if you're not there where you can pray in the Spirit and come against these demon powers and these powers of darkness that would try to destroy you. Listen, we live in a hotbed of witchcraft in that little town we're in. Witchcraft, sorcery, all kind of Indian folklore, Indian curses. Poor little Sandy, we got her to agree. She's an intercessor. We got her to agree to intercede for Talladega when we were here. Another preacher friend of mine, when we were here in the spring camp, and she said ever since she started interceding for us, said everything in her life, said she's been sick ever since, and all kind of problems have risen up because the powers of darkness do not want you to intercede. But the deepest kind of intercession you can do is when you don't know how to pray for somebody, you just pray for them in tongues. And just lift them up in your mind and just pray in the Spirit. And God hears that and He knows what you're praying. You say, well, I'm just praying the same words over and over. Look, God knows all that. He gave you the language. Let Him worry about that. If you got six words and you pray the same six words over and over, pray them over and over. God, maybe He'd take those words and turn them into anything. People say, well, that's just gibberish. Praise God for that gibberish, that Holy Ghost gibberish. It's not gibberish. It's a language. That's all tongues mean, brother. It means a language. It is a language that's spoken somewhere or has been spoken somewhere at some time or other. Or it may be the angel's language. We don't know exactly. Praise God. I had a newspaper reporter once tricked me into praying for tongues for him. Didn't trick me, but asked me would I do it, and he recorded it. And I told him if he'd let me pray for him, that I would let him take me praying in tongues. This was not wise, and, you know, I regretted it after I did it, but I did it anyhow. Well, he turned his recorder on. I started praying in tongues and laid hands on him. Well, the power of God fell. It hit him. Found out later he was Church of Christ. But he started giggling like a little kid. He got to he went out just Holy Ghost walk. I mean, he was almost slain in the spirit. But he didn't know what had happened. He didn't want it, but he knew something had touched him. But he carried that to the college we have in our town, to the English department, the language department. And they had two language teachers. I don't know whether they taught French or Spanish or what. And one of them evidently was a humanist, and she said, well, it's just a bunch of gibberish. But the other said, no, it's a language. So I can tell by the inflections and the pauses and all that it is a language. Says, I don't know what language it is, but it is a language. And tongues is a language. It's a real language. I don't know what one, you know, it is unless someone, you know, happens to speak that language. But there have been all kinds of tongues heard that, you know, someone would speak Hebrew and they'd hear someone speaking in Hebrew that didn't know it. Like the Italian and the Arabic that was spoken when Roger got saved and this type of thing. Praise Jesus. Praise God. But the leadership's holding it down. They're holding it down in the meetings. Somebody will pray in tongues and it's been abused. But there have been a lot of things abused in Christian circles. But, you know, someone will speak in tongues in a meeting and say, hold it steady, hold it steady. Now, we just want it to come from the platform. We don't want to get out in the pews. We want it all in the platform. That's not what they say, but that's what they mean. They say, hold steady, hold steady. And they won't let it come forth. And people are missing blessings. Because many times God wants to speak to somebody through tongues and interpretation, which is the equivalent of prophecy. And we don't see much. We've seen many prophecies since I've been here. We've seen one tongues and interpretation. I praise God for that. But 1 Corinthians 14, the 14th chapter, equates them as being tongues with interpretation as being the equivalent of prophecy. I'll show it to you after the meeting if you don't believe it, but it's there. Praise Jesus. Praise God. I just felt to share this. I don't know why God put it on my heart, but I know there's some people here that God's speaking to through that. So I'm kind of interested in seeing what God's going to do in the spiritual realm. You know, praise God. Yeah, a special miracle. You know, God really, really... The little gal that was playing the guitar here with the blue jeans on and the... I can't see her. Is she here? Yeah. Come. Would you come forward? God just really put you on my heart, and I don't know what he wants to do. Yes, I do, too. God wants to fulfill... Whew, talk about jumping off that 40-foot board. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to fulfill the greatest need in your life right now. And God's going to answer that prayer, whatever it is. He's going to answer your need right now, whatever the greatest need in your life is right now. What is it? Has what?
A wasting disease
of the lung. And that's the greatest need in your life, to see her healed. Is she here? Would you stand in as proxy for her? Okay. I'm just going to lay hands on you. What's her name?
Betty.
Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to heal Betty's lungs. We rebuke that wasting disease in the name of the Lord Jesus. We command it to go
And Lord, we speak healing right now to those lungs. We command them to be made perfectly whole from this moment forward. We ask that your healing touch Betty's lungs right now in the name of Jesus, and that they be healed. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabba. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that? Is there something else? Huh? Power of God's on you, isn't it? Okay, just stand there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, Rababakashanda Babakaka. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's more than our lungs, isn't it? Is it more than our lungs, just our lungs? Okay. I see the whole chest cavity. No, it's not your aunt. It's somebody over in this section. There's a chest. There's a hole. There's a bad something in the chest cavity. It's a whole. It's more than lungs. I thought maybe it was for your aunt, but somebody over in this section over here. God wants to heal it. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I can just see the chest cavity, and there's a problem there in that chest cavity. I believe it's in this section. It could possibly be over here, but I believe it's right over here. Yes, praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God.
I don't know you, and you don't know me.
Yes, I do. I know your last name is Hagar.
Right.
But you told me that's not the best.
Okay, that's fine. God bless you. Yes, you do great. Thank you, Mother.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I have been spitting up blood for the last 3 years. And I've been laying on because I used to smoke cigarettes. But it's going to be you.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It sure is, Father.
This has been worth a trip from Texas to get this done.
Praise God. Brother, thy faith is healed. Eh? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rebuke every bit of congestion, every bit of infirmity, every bit of disease. In the name of Jesus, we command those lungs to be made whole in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank Jesus.
We were here last year.
Amen.
And I have had trouble with my feet. I'm an old lineman, and my feet are wore out.
Well, praise God. Jesus may touch those for the weeks out. Praise
God. And we went home 3 days after I was here, and I've been sorry ever since. And I've come back this time. I want my wife to be healed. She thinks that she has committed unpardonable sin, but I know she hasn't.
No,
and
no.
Praise God.
No. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to tell y'all something else. I'm going off a 50-foot board now. God told me, and you know, I'm always a little leery when people say, God told me, and real, you know. But God did tell me. And he told me to share it. He told me that he was going to give me authority over every cancer and over every spirit of AIDS, and that is a spirit, and cancer is a spirit, that he has given me authority over every cancer and every AIDS, and that when I pray for people, they will be healed. It's just one condition. They are going to have to ask themselves for the healing. If they're crippled and cannot get out, they're going to have to tell somebody to come ask me. I'm not praying for sons or mamas or daddies. I mean, I don't mind praying for them, but not under this anointing that I'm talking about. Because God told me it will not fail that when these people come to me for prayer, and I'm nothing, I'll tell you. If you want to serve God, you know what kind of folks God uses. He's got a description of them over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. He talks about the base things of the world and the weak things and the nothings and all that. He says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things of the world to confound the things that are strong and the base things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Now, if you want to be used of God, you got to fit in that category. I thank God I qualify. I really do. I praise God. And every time, you know, I get to thinking I'm something because God does use me in ministering in the gifts. Praise God, all glory to Him. As I told him the other day, I'm just a messenger boy for God. He gives me the word, and all I do is repeat it. And I qualify, brother and sister. And if you want God to use you, you're going to have to qualify, because that's the kind of folks God's hunting for. The base, the weak, the despised, the lowly, the nothings of this world to confound those that are wise, those that are lusting after the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life that Brother Tommy's been talking about, those that are in the world, and it'll confound these people. It'll confound the Mensas that have got that tremendous IQ, the upper 5 or 4% percentile. You know, it'll confound these because they can't believe that some little ignorant gal that can't even speak good English can lay hands on somebody and watch them get healed or delivered from evil spirits.
Right.
Or some guy with a big old, with a red neck and just an old construction worker that can fall down in a gravel parking lot and just pray up a prayer in a spiritual language that he didn't even learn and sounds like gibberish, and the guy gets saved the next morning. Confounds the wise. It doesn't fit in with their theology. But God is using these kind of people. And if you're one of those kind of folks, and you're my kind of folks, praise God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's see who. Praise God for that brother's faith. Did y'all hear that confession that brother made? He said, God's going to heal me right now. Amen. Boy, I mean, praise God, he's healed. I don't know whether it's manifested yet or it may be tomorrow or next week. I believe it's now, really, but whatever. He's healed. He's healed. Let's seek the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. It's a left arm. And it's bound right here in your left arm. It's just like there's a knot around that thing, and it's just bound. Somebody here got that problem? Look, when the anointing's here, if you've got this, don't let pride keep you from coming forward for prayer, really, because I've seen people come up afterwards and say, well, that was me, Brother Jimmy, and the anointing's gone. You know, I'd be glad to pray for them, but it's when the anointing... To call these words of knowledge out here, it's to heal the person, to minister to them at that particular time, because it confirms God's word. But it's a left arm. I'm almost sure it's a left arm. And it's just like there's a big thing around it, and it's like a tourniquet kind of around it, and it's bound. It's in the left arm. It's right above the elbow. Praise the Lord. Sister? Okay, praise God. Come forward, sister. Okay, well, praise God. There's no need to have a little pain when God wants to set you free from all pain.
Well, I can't pray above the elbow.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's in both arms?
It's more in this one.
Okay, yeah, I saw the left. Yeah, okay. Praise God. That's the Spirit doing that. Father, we just rebuke that spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. And we command it to go. We command that thing to be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rababakoshenda, Kit Rakoshenda. Praise God. Wait a minute, sister. This, Ooh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Satan, we just drive that thing out of that sister's body in the name of Jesus. Father, in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we drive that pain out. We drive that bondage out. We break that yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. We command it to go. It's broken. Praise God. It's broken. Shoulder, arm, other arm. Hallelujah. Back in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababaka Shanda, Babakata Raka Shanda, Babakata Raka Shanda. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Move it. Praise God. Any pain? No, it broke. I saw it breaking. Praise God. Praise God. Just praise Jesus. Praise God. Give Jesus a hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Allah babakashanda babakate rokote libakashanda babakate rokashanda. Kete rokashanda baba. Kete rokashanda. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, wow. I've got to give you what the Lord gives me. I'm not trying to be intimate, but I don't know. Anyway, this woman had a mastectomy of her left breast, and now she's got a problem in her right breast, and she's concerned about it, and God wants to heal that. He wants to touch that. Probably is a recurrence of that cancer. God wants to heal it. Don't, please, sister, whoever you are, don't let pride keep you from it. It's back in this latter part of this side, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe it's back there. We rebuke that spirit of fear. In Jesus' name, we command it to leave. Spirit of fear, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Who was the sister that said that? Oh, you have a spirit of fear? Oh, okay. I thought someone said they had a spirit of fear. Okay. Yes. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Is it you, sister? Is it you? Okay.
I have a problem. It's my right going to my left.
That's right. Is that what did I have it the other way around?
You said right going to my right.
No.
It's my right going to my left.
Okay. Well, I get it turned around sometimes. Okay, praise God. Thank you. You've been concerned about that, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I would be concerned too, but you won't have to be concerned anymore. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just rebuke that spirit of tumors. We rebuke that spirit of cancer. And devil, we take authority over you, and we command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to touch this sister and let your healing power just flow through her right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Oh. You know, I see that spirit as a shark biting, and I command that shark spirit in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, and I command you to leave and never come back in the name of Jesus. Out that door, go out that door at the back, you leave this campgrounds and you go away from here, and don't you ever set foot on this campgrounds again in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You've got an aunt that you're concerned about. She wears gold glasses, gold-rimmed glasses, has a fairly large nose, not real huge. I mean, you know, real large, but is this right? An aunt or someone in, very close kin to you? It's your aunt, and you've been concerned about her? What's her problem? I just saw her face.
A vein busted in her brain, causing a cerebral hemorrhage, and she's paralyzed on one side, and she's having to learn to talk all over again. She can't get around. She's only 5 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. I just saw her name as I was praying with you. Praise Jesus.
Her name is Viney.
What?
Viney.
Viney? Okay. Would you stand in for Viney? We'll just pray to God. Amen. Lord, praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just speak healing to Viney. Lord, we restore that which the canker worm has eaten. We restore that which the palmer worm has robbed that Viney of. And in the name of Jesus, we claim our divine healing power of your Holy Spirit right now on Viney. Touch her, Lord, from the crown of her head to the very soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Ooh, Rababaka Shanda. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Ooh, I thank God. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether we've seen that special miracle yet or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Brother, I can't see you get out of my eyes and pay my eyes be healed. I got an emphysema too.
Okay. Praise God. I'm not laughing at your emphysema. I'm just laughing because I'm happy. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray for your eye.
Yeah.
And we'll say, can you believe with me for your eye?
Yeah.
Let's don't, you know, bite off more than we can chew at one time, okay? Just pray.
The power of glasses, you can't see through them.
You can't see through them? They're so powerful.
Well, I can see you read the little light again. Yeah.
It's your this eye here, your right eye?
Yeah.
Father, you're the God of restoration. And Lord, you restore, Lord, that which has been blinded. You restore, Lord, that which has been perverted and weakened. And God, we ask you now in the name of Jesus just to restore that blind eye. Lord, we ask your healing power. We ask for restoration. We ask for a miracle of restoration, Lord. We don't want healing. We want restoration. And we ask for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We loose the spirit right now of God on you, brother, from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet. Lord Jesus, just touch him right now in Jesus' name. And restore that eye in Jesus' name. Just be still, brother. Let God do it. Hallelujah. Just receive. Just receive in Jesus' name. No, he's healing it. You just receive. All you got to do is receive. This is God's mercy. This is mercy restoration. Yes, well, you don't pray anymore. You just receive, brother. Just receive. Praise God. You've received the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, brother, you want to sit down now? We'll see who God, maybe got somebody else he wants to minister to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray for healing for at the close of the service for all that want to be, you know, have prayer. I know a lot of you got touched last night when Brother Tommy prayed. And we're going to pray for those if there are others here. Maybe some of you, you know, want prayer for healing. But let's just wait on the Lord while the spirit of the word of knowledge is going forth and till the Spirit lifts. Let's just wait on the Lord and see what God's going to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This really is not in the area. Well, it may be in the area of healing, but I see a bracelet. It's a real big thing. It's got big stone, big, it's about that big of stones in it. It's on somebody's wrist. I don't know whether someone's lost a bracelet like that, or I don't know what it means. That's all I see. The thing is dark. It's a big dark spot, but it doesn't. Maybe it's. Let's just seek the Lord a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, it's not a bracelet. It's on someone's wrist. It's a dark spot. It's about the size of a silver dollar, or maybe even a little bigger than that. It's about that size. It's on, I hate to say right or left because I get kind of turned around, but it's on your wrist. I would say right wrist, but it could be the left, but it's right on the wrist, and part of it goes up on the hand. It's a big, dark spot on this right about there on the front part of the hand and the wrist. Okay, sister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right where it was, right? Yeah. We're just going to ask Jesus to put it back in. Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we just ask you right now to touch this wrist. We just ask you to replace it like it's supposed to be, Lord. Put it back in the right place. Lord, we just ask you to take every tendon, every nerve, every muscle, every bone, every bit of gristle, everything that's connected with it, Lord. You are the manufacturer, and we ask you to replace it like it was on the original equipment. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, in Jesus' name. Oh, rababakoshanda, babakieta, rakoshanda, babakieta, rakoshanda, mamakate, rababakoshanda. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise God. Praise God. It's just a great burning there, sister. It's, you feel it? Fire of God's really touching that thing. I was hoping it's going to go instantly, just jump back in there, but it may go slowly, but it's healed. God, the fire of God's just touching it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Move it. It's still got a bump there. Praise God. Before you leave this campground, that's going to manifest. Okay? I don't know when you're leaving. You may be leaving 5 minutes from now, but it'll manifest 4 minutes from now then. Praise God. But before you leave here, it ain't quite manifested. But it's looking better already. Praise God. Amen. No pain there? Was there pain there before? Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise God, you couldn't bring a dish towel. Okay. Praise God. Okay. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless. Amen. Give Jesus a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The brother back there in the red shirt, would you come forward? I guess it's. There's a red. Yeah, you. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother, what do you need Jesus to do for you? You have to think. We don't want you to have to think. You'll know at all. Let's just pray. Praise God. Shama bakate roko shanda babakate roko shanda babakate roko shanda. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. Give for the Lord would say unto you, my son, I've heard your cry. I've heard your prayers in the night. I've heard your heart crying out to me that you wanted to minister in my name. And I would say unto you now, my son, that I'm opening up that ministry that you've been crying out to me for. Yea, I'm opening it up, and you will see manifestations of this in the very, very, very near future, saith the Lord. There are doors opening right now for you to minister. There are doors that are opening right now for you to go out and to minister in my power. And as you keep yourself humble, as you keep yourself obedient, I will work through you and I will anoint you with my power from on high, saith the Lord God. Ooh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. For the Lord would say unto you, my son, that the fire that you feel right now burning through your being is my Holy Spirit burning away the dross that's in your life. It's burning away that which has held you back in the past, that which has kept you from going out because you've said, I'm not worthy. You've said, I'm not sufficient. And of a truth you are not, saith the Lord, but know of a truth that I am worthy and I am sufficient. And as you look unto me, I will work through you and I will use you, saith the Lord God Almighty. Oh, Rababakoshenda, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Have you been praying with the Lord about ministry? Yes, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Yes, she was. Yes, she was. She was prayed for last night. Yes. I believe the Lord healed it. Praise the Lord. Maybe some others, you know, I don't know. Just let the Lord, was that a work? Was that spiritual revelation?
Come down like a sheep.
Amen.
Like this.
Praise God. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear it at the back? He said there's a woman, the Lord's showing him, there's a woman that's had a concussion. There's a woman. Woman's had a concussion. And the Lord is right now, it's just like a sheep. The Holy Spirit's just like a sheep that's just falling over her. It's healing that which has been broken, whatever it is that needs healing. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that even now that the Spirit is just falling on her and God's touching her right now, she's being healed. So praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's manifested, the sister would get up and as it's manifested and she feels the power of God on her and acts her faith and comes forward, then praise God, God will confirm it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Here she comes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you feel that? Praise God. God's doing it. Just say, I've received it. Is there any manifestation that you can tell anything that's different from what it was before the brother prayed? Before he had that word of knowledge? Okay. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Total restoration, Lord. She had prayer last night. She's received the word of knowledge. Now, Lord, we just give you thanks and we give you the glory that you've done it. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Take just a minute, sisters. I see bells ringing. Is that ring a bell? See silver bells ringing back and forth. Does that mean that doesn't mean anything to you?
Lord.
Praise God. Okay, Lord. Amen. Father, we just ask you to release your spirit in this sister, the spirit of joy. We drive out all depression, all defeat, all doubt. In Jesus' name, we command it to leave. And Lord, we just ask that particular fruit of your spirit, along with the other fruit, but particularly joy. Lord, just fill her with joy from the crown of her head to the very soles of her feet in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.